Dick Barton, Special Agent. By special arrangement with the BBC, we bring you Chapter 61 of our exciting adventure serial, Dick Barton, Special Agent. Dick Barton, Jock Anderson, Gene and Snowy are taking things easy after their activities in connection with the synthetic diamond adventure. And so we find them amusing themselves somewhere in the West End of London. They have dined, wined, been to the theatre, and are now indulging in Snowy White's favourite pastime. Outside in a taxi, a mysterious figure is watching them.
Well, who's in favour of calling it a night and getting some sleep?
Yeah, I am.
Me too.
I'm against.
You're in the minority, Snowy. 3-1.
Come on, Snowy. Hope for some shut-eye. When we pull off a really big deal, we'll club together and buy you an electric pin table all to yourself.
Aye, and a supply of pennies to go with it.
Not a bad night out.
Exciting enough for you?
Well, makes a nice change. Ooh, fresh air. Remember it?
What about a taxi?
Hey, just a minute, Soaks. Let's change our minds and push on to the next pin table parlour.
Now, look here, Dick Barton, make up your mind.
Quiet, wench, quiet. Step along with Uncle Dick and let him explain.
What's up, sir? Don't matter what's up. Let's get on to the next place, sharp, before he changes his mind again.
As we walk along, I want you to listen, my little friend. Something is up, very definitely up.
Why, what's wrong?
There's a large taxi over there just simply begging and praying for us to take it.
Well, suits me. Let's take it.
I think that's just what we're expected to do. You see, I happened to notice that taxi when we came out of the last place. It's got a slight dent in the mudguard. No, no, don't stare at it, Gene. You'll give the game away.
Oh, sorry, boss.
What do we do now, then, sir?
Well, suppose we pop into the next amusement place and watch what happens.
Ah, here he comes.
Oh, sir. He is in all.
Hey, what's this? There's a chappie going to hail it.
The driver's shaking his head.
He's got his indicator showing now. He can't refuse a fare, can he?
He's putting his indicator down. See?
Now, what's the betting that as soon as we step outside this place, his indicator goes up again?
Bet you a bob.
Done, Snowy.
And just as a matter of interest, Mr. Barton, what do we do if this taxi is lying in wait for us?
Well, what say? Do we fall for the bait?
What? Walk into the trap with our eyes open? That's a bit silly, isn't it?
Well, I'm all for having a stab at it. You can take a taxi home, Jean.
Oh, no, you don't. All for one and one for all in this outfit.
Anyway, we can have a bit of fun. Keep the taxi driver along a bit and then prod him in the back and say, now tell us all before we shoot.
I must say I'd like to know what's behind it.
Well, there's one way to find out. Let's all stroll out casually as though we're making up our minds to call a taxi girl. That's another bob.
It is and all. He's waiting for us, all right.
Well, then he shan't wait in vain. Taxi! Hey, taxi!
It is a far, far sillier thing we do now than we have ever done before. Oh, well.
All right, sir. Off in.
What, aren't you even going to ask us where we want to go?
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Silly of me. Where to, sir?
Banwell Street.
Yes, sir. In you get.
Get in, Jean.
I tell you, Dicker. Oh, what...
What's the matter?
Good evening, Mr. Barton. Please get in the cab. No, I'm not armed, and I'm not threatening you. I'm just asking you to step inside.
Said the spider to the fly, eh?
Not at all. Not at all, Mr. Barton. But if you'll all crowd inside, I'll explain what's behind this rather melodramatic meeting. I can assure you the taxi won't go hurtling off to some gang headquarters as soon as you're in it. It will only move when you tell the driver. That's fair enough, isn't it?
Sounds all right. Get in, lads and lasses. Let's hear what the nice, kind gentleman has to tell us. Who are you, anyway?
My name is Jones. Or it could be Robinson, if you prefer Robinson to Jones.
No, no, Jones will do for us. Now then, what's it all about?
I can tell you nothing.
That's a good start.
What I would like you and your friends to do, Mr. Barton, is to come along with me and meet my principals. I am just an agent.
Who are your principals, Mr. Brown and Mr. Smith?
How did you guess, Mr. Barton? Seriously, though, if you care to come along, I can offer you a job full of excitement, adventure, and danger. My principals are under the impression that such a job would make a particular appeal to you.
All this sounds very square and above board, old man. In fact, it's so square and above board that...
That what, Mr. Barton?
But I can't for the life of me understand why there should be all the secrecy about it. Why not come straight to my flat in the first place and lay all your cards on the table?
Because, Mr. Barton, If we did that tonight, there is a fair chance that you would be a dead man tomorrow.
Hello, we're off again.
I'm sorry, Mr. Barton, I can't tell you any more. The rest of the story must be told by my two principals.
Well, in that case, let's push on and hear the rest of the story. All agreed, my children?
Yes,
well, perhaps you'll tell the driver to drive on.
Sure, where to?
Just tell him to drive on. He knows where to go.
Okay. In for a penny, in for 500 pounds. That's what I always say. Push ahead, driver. The whole thing gets curiouser and curiouser, as our old friend Harris used to say.
And here we are, safe and sound, ladies and gentlemen. Step inside, Miss Hunter.
Thank you.
And you, gentlemen? Mr. Barton was sufficiently interested in the proposition to come along, Mr. Brown.
Splendid. Good evening to you all, if it's not too late.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I think
sir. Perhaps
you may have recognized both myself and my friend, Mr. Smith.
Yes, sir, of course we have.
In that case, I hope your suspicions of dirty work have all been allayed.
Of course, sir.
Had Mr. Jones told us with whom we had to deal, we shouldn't have...
Believe me, I know.
Well, maybe you're right at that. It would have taken some believing.
Well, to save wasting time, Mr. Barton, my friend Mr. Smith and I will come straight to the point. We understand from certain persons who shall be nameless that you and your friends are of an adventurous disposition, not afraid of taking risks, can be trusted, and have already proved your courage and resource on many occasions.
Lovedup, we must have a press agent.
Right, sir.
The point is, Mr. Barton, would you and your friends care for a trip to South America?
When, sir?
Immediately, Mr. Barton.
And what's the end of this trip, sir?
Excitement, danger, and possibly death.
The risks are pretty high, eh?
So are the rewards, Mr. Barton.
If you succeed, you'll have done the world an immeasurable service.
Sounds interesting, eh, chaps?
You don't know what the task is yet.
Then let's hear all about it, sir.
Right. But please sit down and make yourselves comfortable. Help yourselves to drinks and cigarettes. There are sandwiches on the sideboard if you feel peckish at all. Now, have you heard of a Professor Carey? A world-famous geologist and archaeologist, Mr. Barton.
No, I can't say I have, sir.
Professor Carey started from Georgetown, British Guiana, in 1938 to search for the ancient city of El Dorado. Oh, that was the reason it was made public. He left Georgetown with one or two assistants, white men, and a party of native guides, bearers and so on. Indians they were.
They proceeded up the Essequibo River.
And that was the last that was seen or heard of the Professor Carey expedition. Except for odd rumors which came from time to time from the jungle.
Yeah, what sort of rumors?
Rumors of a new white god who had been set up and worshipped by one of the tribes. We thought that it might have been Carey, but received no word from him.
Excuse me, sir. You said the reason for the expedition that was made public was a search for El Dorado. Wasn't that the real reason?
With true Scottish intuition, our friend Mr. Anderson has put his finger on the important point. No, Mr. Anderson, that was not the real reason.
But what was?
This, Mr. Barton. During Professor Carey's researches into the ancient tribes of South America, he found continual reference to one tribe which spoke the English language. They were almost white, the natives of this tribe. What is even more important, though, they worshipped what they called a godstone.
It was a mineral of some kind that had been worshipped by the Indians for some centuries because of its godlike qualities.
Well, how do you mean, sir, godlike qualities? How could a chunk of rock have godlike qualities?
Apparently it had the most important of all qualities, the power of life and death.
Well, I don't get you, sir.
The stone gave off rays which proved fatal to anyone touching it.
Sort of radium?
Precisely, Mr. Barton, a sort of radium. And Professor Carey was so certain that he was on the track of something new that his expedition was financed by a company of which we have the privilege to be directors, the Mineral Research Developments Company. As you may know, our company is not run for profit.
As I've heard of it, sir, helps to supply radium to hospitals and so on. Eh?
Exactly. We felt, you see, that this new mineral might benefit science and medicine immeasurably. Carey had approached several organizations with his proposals, but they couldn't help him financially, so we stepped in. Have you got it so far?
Yes, sir. That's clear. Yeah.
Good. Carry on, Mr. Brown. I'm thirsty.
As we say, nothing was heard of the Carey expedition after it set off up the Essequibo River until a fortnight ago.
Well, you don't mean to say he's come back after all these years?
No, he hasn't come back. But a fortnight ago, an Indian native of an unknown tribe arrived in Georgetown, British Guiana. He was very ill with some mysterious disease, but he managed to reach our company's agency in Georgetown before collapsing. The strange thing was that he could speak a little English. Sentinel, our agent out there, found out that he had a written message in code from Carey, and Sentinel cabled the message to the company here in England.
Oh, this is beginning to get exciting.
We thought you'd be interested. Anyway, Barton, we've decoded the message. It is from Carey, and he has found a new mineral which, from what he says, makes radium a back number. But he is not allowed to leave the place where he is. He doesn't say why. He's in good health, but he can't get away to bring the specimens to us. We can send some brave men to rescue him.
But surely you need experienced explorers, not us.
We have an experienced explorer, Bruce Fairley. He and five companions have undertaken the task.
Then where do we come in?
Yesterday, three of Fairley's companions met with a fatal accident.
We think it was an accident. We don't know. Anyway, we're taking no chances. The point is, would you three like to take the place of the three men who have died? We'd like to know your decision now.
What's the urgency? Do you think there's some funny business?
I think so, personally. Carey started off with a partner at Georgetown, a man named Charles Craddock. They quarreled about something, and Craddock didn't go in the end. He was seen recently in Georgetown again, according to Sentinel, the agent.
Furthermore, a man in the company offices here, a fellow named Lawrence Zimmer, used to be a particular crony of Craddock's. He was originally at our offices in Georgetown and got to know Craddock there. When the code message came in from Carey, Zimmer helped to decode it. Since then, he's disappeared completely. Hasn't put in an appearance at the company's office, and he hasn't shown up at his flat.
It looks a bit fishy, I must say.
You will readily appreciate, Mr. Barton, that as radium is the most valuable commodity in the world, anything that makes radium a back number would have a fabulous value in the world market.
You suspect that Craddock and Zimmer may be after it themselves.
It's a possibility. Hence the urgency, and hence the danger. We want to get out to Sentinel and the native as quickly as possible, before anyone else can do so.
Bruce Fairley has a plane and pilot ready to start the trip day after tomorrow.
Phew, that's short notice, sir. Has the native got a map, by the way?
Yes. If he recovers, which is doubtful, then he could act as guide. Otherwise, the initiative rests with Bruce Fairley.
And what about Kit?
I suggest you use the kit that was already for the men who died yesterday. But I must again point out that we want a decision now, Mr. Barton.
Oh, what say, my children? I'm game, personally.
True.
Look, I agree, I'm
and me.
Well, we'll talk about that, Gene.
Well, if you're sure, then we may as well go straight along to see Bruce Fairley now. He would have been here, but he's so busy. He left this business to us.
Right, lead on. Let's go and see our new boss, by all means.
But you might as well get this straight, all of you. You're not buzzing off to the ends of the earth and leaving little Jeannie.
This is where Bruce Fairley lives.
His flat is on the ground floor. Why, there they are, the three of them, sitting around the table. You can see them through the curtains. That's Bruce Fairley in the middle. Ring the bell, somebody.
That's funny. They don't take any notice.
Look, Dick. They look strange. I don't like it.
Blazes. There's something radically wrong here. Come on, down with the door.
What has G noticed? What does Barton mean? What is the mystery of Bruce Fairley's flat?